Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
This is pretty big breaking news and exclusive. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred will remove Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson from the MLB's permanently ineligible list. This would clear a pathway for both players to have consideration for the Baseball Hall of Fame. This has been something that people have debated for quite some time. Now, there is a clear path. Pete Rose is now eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Same thing for Shoeless Joe Jackson. They have been removed from the ban list. Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Josh Vernier and get his thoughts on this. We'll also get his thoughts on the Kansas City Royals, who won yesterday 7-5 over the Houston Astros. Vern, I'm not sure if we ever thought we would see this day when it came to Pete Rose. This was one of those things that we debated for quite some time. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, now that he is passed and now that he is eligible, it seems like a no-brainer to me that Pete Rose is about to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I would imagine he would need induction via the Veterans Committee. And yeah, they would, I would assume, put him in. It'll be interesting to see how the Hall of Fame handles it because, of course, the Hall of Fame is a separate entity from Major League Baseball. The rule is they won't induct anybody that's on Major League Baseball's ineligible list. So it's not an automatic. We'll see how they handle Shoeless Joe and the other Black Sox. We'll see how they handle Pete Rose. Maybe it goes right to the Veterans Committee. Maybe the writers never have the opportunity. Yeah, because if the writers do, I still don't think it's a slam dunk that Pete Rose gets in. You know, to me, this is a reflection of what steroids did, right? Right. The steroid era turned the Hall of Fame into a, each individual voter had to make an assessment for themselves of whether or not Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, did these guys cheat the game? Well, in Curt Schilling's case, it's a complete, judgment of his character, right? The character clause. Did you cheat the game with steroids? Did you cheat the game by gambling? Do you hurt the game with the words that you use, apparently, in Curt Schilling's case? Personally, I'm not a fan of it. If you gamble on the sport, I don't believe you should be eligible for the Hall of Fame. Now, Shoeless Joe has a much better case than Pete Rose does. Shoeless Joe, you look at his numbers from that 1919 World Series, and the guy hit .375. He had a tremendous World Series. While Pete Rose, I mean, get real. No. I don't think he deserves to be honored. Just like I don't think Barry Bonds deserves to be honored. But they could still be in the Hall of Fame. You know, the argument that many make of, oh, it's a museum, and how can you tell the story of baseball without them being inducted? You can still tell the story. You can still have artifacts and talk about what Barry Bonds did. It doesn't mean that you need to honor them with enshrinement, with a day in Cooperstown. Do whatever you want. I don't think Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest players of all time, no doubt, a Hall of Fame talent, and one of the. If you're picking a team, Pete Rose isn't going to be standing on the sideline very long if you're picking an all-time team. And yet, he made his own bed, man. But apparently, now that he's passed, he no longer has to lie in it.
That's interesting, your feelings towards Pete Rose. And right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier. My argument has always been, just put it on the plaque. Like, whenever you or if you induct Pete Rose, it should be on there.
Why? What? Why does he deserve the plaque?
Well, I think he deserves the plaque just based off his baseball career. I think he's one of the greatest players. I don't think what he is accused of or what we know that he's done, I don't think that had an effect on him being the all-time hit king. I just think that, I guess I'm on the side of telling the complete story. I also think that that story is a part of Pete Rose. Hey, he is a player who has more hits than anybody who has ever played baseball. He also was found guilty of betting on baseball. Like, to me, I think that baseball tries to selectively tell you what parts of the story. No, tell us all of the story. I don't think you can make all the money you did off McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, and all of them. And now when it comes to
the Hall of Fame didn't. Baseball did. The Hall of Fame is something separate from Major League Baseball. You can tell the story of the steroid era and the Black Sox. You can tell the story of Pete Rose without honoring them. And to me, gambling is the one thing, and I know it's a completely different world in which we live in now in 2025, but that's the one thing that can bring a sport to its knees. If you start to question the legitimacy of it, I like that players are hopefully afraid to bet on baseball because of what happened to Pete Rose. We'll see. We'll see if baseball benefits from putting in Pete Rose, or if Cooperstown, if the Hall of Fame benefits from putting Pete Rose in. We'll see if it happens. I don't know who it's for. Pete's gone. Is it for his kids? Is it just so this conversation stops? It seems very 2025 where we're trying to appease. Well, I don't know who we're trying to appease, but it seems to me like it's a, just the masses, just the vocal masses online. We want to silence them and act as if it's making any real change here.
This is my biggest argument with all of it is it just feels very selective to me. Like, David Ortiz is in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, even though he has steroid accusations over him. But now we're not going to let Barry Bonds. We're not going to let Alex Rodriguez. That's my thing to this. If we're going to say, hey, if you have a whiff of impropriety when it comes to steroids,
let them all in.
Yeah, then none of you can get in. Or, well, then we can't pick and choose. Well, we really like David Ortiz. We don't like Barry Bonds, so we're not going to let him in because he was mean to us, but Big Poppy was nice to us. That's where I think people kind of feel like baseball is picking this selective kind of morality that I'm just not sure if we as people have the ability to be like, you're bad, but you're good. That's where I think baseball is losing people, at least when it comes to this
conversation. We do it every year with the MVP. That's what sports is. It's all subjective. Outside of the trophy at the end of the season to the champions, it's all subjective. We've given the writers this power in the NFL. We've done it in all professional sports, the selective nature. Okay, well, if your counter argument is, well, if you let one in, let them all in. Okay, you can feel that way. You could put McGuire and Sosa. We could throw Manny Ramirez in there. Put them all in. I watched them. I enjoyed it. But when I look at the Hall of Fame, man, that's one of my favorite days of the year. End of July. I'm still gonna watch if you induct Barry Bonds, and I watched his entire career. Yes, he's maybe the greatest player I ever saw. So I'm not going to, fall on my sword. I'm not agitated. But to me, the argument of, Pudge Rodriguez or, like you mentioned, Big Poppy are already in. Well, okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate to some. Kudos to them. But I don't want everyone to be able to cut corners and still get your day in the sun when there are others that'll never get that day in the sun that are, Dustin Pedroia. We just saw him at Kauffman Stadium. His career cut short because of injuries. Maybe he'd be in the Hall of Fame if he would have taken steroids. Maybe he would have been able to come back from those injuries. Instead, he fell just short. He was a very good player, a Hall of Fame-esque player, but those injuries and his decision to not cut those corners will never be recognized, at least not on that stage in Cooperstown.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. If you guys missed it, the breaking news, Rob Manfred has lifted the ban for Shoeless Joe Jackson and also Pete Rose. Both of them are now eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Let's move to the Royals. I do want to talk about last night's game, but before we do that, we got to talk about 45-year-old left-handed pitcher Rich Hill. He has been assigned to AAA Omaha here. Is there any chance that we see Rich Hill at some point this year? I only ask is because
I hope not.
I'm just happy that every generation gets their old, soft-tossing lefty. I'm just happy. Yeah. You know, back for me and you, that guy was Jamie Moyer. You know what I mean? Right. Jamie Moyer played baseball until he was 122 years old. So I'm just happy that there is a chance, there's a possibility that Rich Hill could pitch in a July game for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, the Jim Cott and Tommy John and Jamie Moyer. Yeah, it would be cool. It would be his 14th team. See that? There's only 30 in the big leagues. The dude's almost played for half of them. Outside of the fact that he went to the University of Michigan, I have no hope, or not. I hope he doesn't make it to the big leagues. You know, this rotation.
You hating, Vern? Come on now. We can't be hating on Rich Hill.
What do you want? I have no interest in seeing him. Again, this Royals rotation right now, on average, is giving you almost six innings every time they take the ball with an ERA of 2.97. I like that. I don't think Rich Hill has any of that left. And if you want to talk about a bullpen option, man, I sure hope there's a better option down in Omaha than Rich Hill. And I know there is. But yeah, best of luck to him, man. It's cool for him. I mean, that's amazing. Kudos to him.
I can't believe we hating on Rich Hill, 45-year-old Rich Hill. This is the kind of stuff
you're
that
going
they
to
make
the game?
Movies about.
You're going to the game? Rich Hill going opposite the Chicago White Sox on a Friday night. You're buying a pair of tickets to that game?
No, I'm not buying a pair of tickets. I'll tell you this. We would lead the show with it the next day.
Yeah, because he had to carry him off in a stretcher. His arm fell off. Sure.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Because he got another blister.
I can't believe we're doing this to my guy Rich Hill. All right, let's talk about yesterday's game. I actually think the Royals are very, very simple. It really comes down to, for that individual day, how many runs did they score? Did their offense give you enough? I mean, we have enough evidence at this point. If the Royals' offense gives you just enough, and sometimes they give you more than what you need, like they did yesterday where they scored seven runs. If this offense gives you anything, the Royals are going to win that game 90% of the time.
And since the calendar flipped to May, the Royals' offense has been one of the 10 best in baseball, and I don't think it's any surprise that the turnaround from Vinny and Jonathan India, coinciding with Bobby remaining a stud and Michael Garcia remaining one of the 15 most well-rounded players in the sport right now. Okay, you know, Salvi going through it, dealing with turning 35. Michael Garcia picking him up, and the top four in the lineup are doing just enough. Yeah, you mentioned it. The Royals 16-1 this season when they score at least four runs. Very reminiscent of that 2014 team. Also reminiscent of that pennant-winning team from just over a decade ago. The Royals are now 18-0 when they lead after six innings. So you have some dudes at the back end of the bullpen. You have the best rotation in Major League Baseball. A base-running unit that, again, since the calendar flipped to May, has been one of the best in the sport. Bobby, statistically, is the best base runner in baseball since the calendar flipped to May. Michael Garcia, the second-best base runner. So if you're pitching well to start the game, to finish the game, you're defending well, and you're running the bases well, yeah, you don't need much from the offense, and you likely won't need much from the offense to get through the regular season. But of course, like we saw last year, if you're going to beat good teams, if you're going to beat good pitching in October, you need to execute at a pretty high level or have someone get all sorts of red hot in October. Fortunately, we don't need to really stress about that, think about that, or talk about that for another 4 months.
I feel like yesterday was the formula. Now, obviously, they're not scoring seven runs a game, but, I mean, the contribution, the bulk of it, came from the top half of their lineup. You got two RBIs from Witt. You got two RBIs from Jonathan India. Vinny Pasquantino chipped in. I mean, if this offense is going to turn things around and get on a little bit of a hot streak, so to speak, that's going to come from those guys who are hitting one through four.
Well, here's the question then. Do you believe that the Vinny Pasquantino that entered the month of May hitting .177 is who we're going to watch over the final 119 games? Or do you think it's the guy that has hit .321 here in the month of May? Now, Jonathan India, his first 19 games, he had an OPS that was about 150 points below the league average. In the last 19, 20 games, he has an OPS that's 50 points above the league average. Now, the track record of both Vinny and India would say what we've seen here in the month of May is what we should expect more times than not for the final 4 months of the season. So, yeah, I think we'll look back on April fondly, not only because of what the rotation was able to do, carrying an offense a way that I don't think an offense can carry a rotation, but I think we'll also look back on April fondly because of what India and Vinny and Massey showed this clubhouse, the way that guys picked one another up, didn't hang their head when they were having individual or on an individual basis when they were not having a lot of success. They did put the team first. They did show up expecting to win. You know, I talked with Michael Lorenzen recently, and he mentioned how the guys become a family when you go through something like they went through last September and October, going into Baltimore, going into New York, having all those, you know, barbs thrown at them from the fan base, talking about how tight that group became last October. And man, 43 games into the season, it looks even tighter than that squad. So it bodes well for the next trying time that surely awaits this ball club.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, for just a little bit. I understand that we have some time until the deadline, but I at least want to ask you something that we talked about yesterday. I mean, I've seen enough Royals baseball. If you want to go back to last year, we're talking about a 70-game sample size. If you were going from September 1st until we are right now, and the Royals are averaging somewhere around 3.2, 3.3 runs per game. Eventually, I think the Royals are going to have to give up a little bit of their starting pitching to try to help solidify the rest of their lineup and try to go get themselves an outfield bat. Are you looking at it this same way? That, I mean, the way that they are right now, they are a good team. This is a team that is capable of making the postseason, and then with their pitching staff, you never know what can happen. But we're talking about an offense right now that is bottom five in Major League Baseball, and that just creates a very clear and defined ceiling on what you can accomplish. I'm not entirely sure if they have all the options right now on their 25-man roster, and I'm thinking at some point they're going to have to go outside and they're going to have to give up something that they really like to go get something that they really, really need, somebody who can hit somewhere between fifth and eighth in their lineup.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe even higher. Maybe you need to go out and find a cleanup hitter. Again, Salvi turning 35 just a few days ago, and we're already seeing, you know, a hamstring bite him last night. He's dealing with the hip earlier. You know, a lot going on, as you would expect with someone 13 years into a career playing behind the dish. So, yeah, no doubt about it. This team needs to be aggressive at the deadline. We'll need to add a bat. It's easier said than done, especially with the expanded postseason and more teams believing that they're still very much in it. The Royals do have, as of today, quite a few options, right? And I'm not talking solely about the minor leaguers or Noah Cameron, right? The kid that came up and pitched very well in his big league debut. But Seth Lugo is almost certainly going to opt out after this season and become a free agent. Michael Lorenzen will become a free agent at the end of this season. Chris Bubich, after this season, has only one more year of team control. So there are three guys right there where JJ can't be wrong, right? Now, if you allow a Lorenzen to leave in free agency, you move him to the bullpen down the stretch, oh, okay. You know, Seth Lugo, that's an interesting decision there. This is a guy that leads Major League Baseball in innings pitched. He's a terrific teammate and an outstanding pitcher. Are you going to bring him back? And if not, Can you let them walk for nothing? Can a market like this, can an organization like this lose a talent like that and get nothing in return? You know, you got Jonathan India for Brady Singer. What are you going to do with Chris Bubich? Is that someone that you're interested in signing long term? Is it a good idea to ever sign a starting pitcher in Kansas City long term? Yeah, big questions. Minor leaguers, sure. Move them. Who cares? Lugo, Bubich, and Lorenzen, man, that's a long conversation.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Josh Vernier is now going to join us every Tuesday and Friday at 3 o'clock to talk a little Royals baseball. Vern, I really appreciate your time today, man. I'm happy it worked out today with this breaking news regarding Pete Rose, man. Thanks for popping on.
Yeah, today. That was fun. My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Speaking of Pete Rose, they have released a statement. Quote, the question of whether an individual should remain on the permanently ineligible list after his death has never been formally addressed by Major League Baseball. Indeed, Mr. Rose is the first person banned by a commissioner other than a person I've never heard of before to die while still on the ineligible list. As such, it is incumbent upon the office of the commissioner to reach a policy regarding this unprecedented issue in the modern era. In my view, once an individual passes away, the purposes of the Rule 21 have been served. Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Moreover, it is hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve. Therefore, I have concluded that permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual, and Mr. Rose will be removed from the permanently ineligible list. I also want to emphasize that it is not part of my authority or responsibility to express any views concerning Pete Rose's consideration by or possible election to the Hall of Fame. I agree with Commissioner Giamatti. That responsibility lies for the decision with the Hall of Fame. So Major League Baseball has come out and given a stance. I actually think that it is a pretty fair stance. Our stance was very clear. It is a lifetime ban on Pete Rose. Pete Rose has since passed away at 81 years old. Well, he's now dead. So the lifetime ban has now served its purpose. We are now removing it from Pete Rose. And if you guys want to make the decision to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, we are not going to stop you one way or the other. I don't think you can really argue that stance too much. They had a position from the very, very beginning. They never wavered on their position. I also think that Pete Rose kind of knew the rules. And the thing that I do agree with Vern in this context, you did something that everybody knows you are not supposed to do in Major League Baseball. You don't get to do that and then still get your day in the sun to celebrate it. That is your penalty. You can still go around to trade shows. You can still do interviews. You can still do all of these other things, but we will not celebrate you because you did this. You knew the game. You knew the risk when you played it. You now have to accept those penalties. I think that Pete Rose has done this. This has been my issue with baseball. This has been my issue with this conversation. I don't think that you can selectively pick your history. I think this is part of your story. And I think that baseball sometimes only wants to tell you the romantic parts of its story. And yes, that's life. There is a lot of good in baseball. There's a lot of good in a lot of different things. But if you really want to tell the story about baseball, you can't just tell it through the lens and the perspective of all the things that were right. You have to tell it through the lens of all the other things. The reason why Jackie Robinson's story is so important is the why. Well, he was the first black player. Well, why does that matter? Well, look what was going on in society at that time. You can't properly tell the story about Jackie Robinson if you also don't want to tell that part of the story on why he matters, why his number is retired, and what makes him so important. Pete Rose is a part of the history of baseball. So my stance from the beginning has been very, very simple. If you want to tell the Pete Rose story, great, but you have to tell all of the story because all of those things happen. Yes, Pete Rose is Charlie Hustle. Yes, he is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Yes, he has more hits than any person who has ever played baseball. He also bet on the game. That's part of his story. You cannot hide that. And I know that this is a fight from an older generation where my generation, and some of you guys too, I don't want to make it sound like this is just young people that are fighting this, is what I think they're doing to the steroid era. It happened. We were there for it. You remember coming home from school and wondering if Sammy Sosa hit a home run and Mark McGwire hit a home run. The reason some of you like baseball is because of Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Some of the reason you like baseball is because of those Yankees and Red Sox series, because of going to see Barry Bonds. And now we have just come together to say, well, no, we can't celebrate any of that. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to do that. Sammy Sosa happened. Mark McGwire happened. Barry Bonds happened. Alex Rodriguez happened. These were your stars. And to me, you don't only get to stand with them in the good, you also got to stand with them in the bad. And I feel like baseball writers and people who vote on these things, they have just played a very selective morality of, well, we like this person, we don't like this person, we think this person's okay, but we don't think this person's okay, when just I'm in the business of letting all of them in and simply telling their story, because I think their story is very important with baseball. We can get what you guys think about this coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. If you missed it, Pete Rose is finally eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Vern doesn't think he should get in. I do think he should get in. What do you guys think? We'll also talk about what I think this means in a big picture sense next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back into the show. We'll get back to football coming up in a bit, but we're talking about the breaking news. If you missed it, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is removing Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson from the Major League Baseball permanently ineligible list. This would give them both the opportunity to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. There was a statement that was released from Major League Baseball, and the statement, if I can paraphrase it for you, was pretty simple. We said it was a lifetime ban. It was. He is now passed. We are removing it. And if they get voted in, then they get voted in. But we are not going to issue a statement. We are not for or against. We said it was lifetime. We have upheld what we said we were going to do. And now whatever happens, happens. That is basically the statement that they came out and said. My stance on this is very simple. I would induct Pete Rose into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. I would just put it on his plaque as his entire story. Well, in 1989, he was permanently banned from baseball for betting as the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. That is as important to the Pete Rose story as the fact that he has more hits than anybody else to ever play Major League Baseball. And a major problem that I have with Major League Baseball is I think that baseball only wants to tell you part of the story and not the complete story. You cannot tell the story of baseball without including the summer of 1998. And baseball that used the summer of 1998 to move on from the strike and bring fans into the game and sold and promoted the hell out of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. I remember even back then, we kind of laughed and joked about it. What was that drug? It was like androstenedione, I think was the name of it. Maybe I'm wrong. And they found it in Mark McGwire's locker. And I'll never forget this. They asked him, hey, what is this? And he was like, Flintstone vitamins. He was like, ha-ha, everybody started laughing about it. Like, I think we all kind of knew, hey, something's kind of funny going on here. But you know what, man? It was fun. It was a great summer. And eventually, whatever happened, happened. And now baseball has completely tried to separate itself from all of those things. I want to play this audio from my guy, Zach Gelb. So Zach Gelb, friend of the show, you got a chance. He got a chance to talk to Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez is in the process of buying the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's also Alex Rodriguez. So I want to play for you this answer because this should be everybody's answer if you get asked this question. Zach asked Alex Rodriguez, who's the best player you've ever seen play? All of us should have the same answer. Here's A-Rod's answer.
No, the best player I've ever seen is Barry Bonds, like head and shoulders above everyone, almost like Michael Jordan, like just a class of his own. Barry Bonds was so good, it's hard to articulate how good this guy was. He's also baseball royalty with Willie Mays as a godfather and also the great Bobby Bonds as his dad. Barry Bonds is in a class of his own. However, Barry doesn't pitch and Barry can't throw 100 miles an hour, even though Barry will probably tell you he could. But as far as the most unique, most special player that I've ever seen, it has to be Shohei Ohtani, especially when he's able to, you know, pitch as well, because then that only becomes a class of two, Shohei and Babe Ruth.
I've got a chance to see Shohei play in person. I had a chance to see Barry Bonds play in person. Shohei is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But the best player that any of us have ever seen play baseball is Barry Bonds, and it's not really that close. Now, sure, did Barry Bonds maybe cut some corners? Did Barry Bonds maybe take some? I don't know. I think a lot of guys during this time frame were taking some things that maybe they should or shouldn't have. And I think we know. I mean, it's not that often that you improve as a 35, 36, up to 40 years old the way that Barry Bonds did. I don't think he did all of that off milk and lifting weights. I think he had some kind of enhancements. But again, I think that a lot of players during this time were doing this. This is my biggest issue. If you do it just a Google search, you don't even have to do some deep dive research, just a Google search, you will see a story from July 30th of 2009. The story says Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz test positive. This is the headline of the story. Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz were among the 104 major league players who listed as testing positive for performance-enhancing substances in 2003. Lawyers with knowledge of the results tell the New York Times. These are two key players on the Boston Red Sox. You guys remember during that time. This is what I don't like. Can anybody explain to me then why David Ortiz is in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame? I'm not telling you that David Ortiz shouldn't be in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. I would vote for David Ortiz. But if you were telling me that David Ortiz has all of the same suspicions that you feel Barry Bonds has, if he has all of the same suspicions that you think Alex Rodriguez has, if you think he has the same suspicions as all of these other players, can anybody tell me then how David Ortiz got in on the first ballot? To me, you can't pick. Either we're letting in all of the steroid users or we are letting in none of the steroid users, because I think we can now definitively say David Ortiz took something. I don't know what. But David Ortiz took something to enhance his performance. David Ortiz got in on the first ballot. David Ortiz works for Fox, who covers Major League Baseball games. We celebrate David Ortiz, and we should. But I think a lot of our favorite hitters during this time, a lot of our favorite players were doing something, were taking something to hit all of those home runs that they were hitting. I mean, Barry Bonds was a superhero during this time. Like, I don't say that lightly. A superhero during this time. I'd never seen anything like it before. I've been to a lot of Royals games in my life. I can't think of too many times in which the Royals weren't playing the Cardinals, just because there are so many Cardinals fans, etc., where there was such a buzz for an opposing team's player to come up to bat and such a celebration when you saw that player hit a home run. People weren't even mad. Just like, because you knew you were sitting there and you were watching something special. What I want you guys to do is, whenever you get some free time, I want you to go on Pro Baseball Reference and just look at Barry Bonds' statistics. And just remove the steroids, remove your biases, remove anything you think about Barry Bonds, and just look at him and say, how did you do that? In 2001, Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs, had 137 RBIs. He got walked 177 times. He hit 328 and had an on-base percentage of 515. Over half the time he went up to the plate, he got on base. You know how crazy that is? You know how wild that is? Over 51% of the time. We're not even factoring in the fact that in 2004, his on-base percentage was 609. 60% of the time he got on base, he hit 362 at 39 years old. I don't care what kind of steroids you're taking. They don't automatically make you that. Because I think a lot of players were taking them. A lot of lesser players. They didn't turn into superheroes the way that Barry Bonds did. He is the answer to this. Let them all in. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. I'm not here to play morality police when it comes to these guys. And I don't know in what world baseball writers feel like they are qualified to play morality police when it comes to these guys. Trust me, you have let in far worse individuals than Barry Bonds, who might have taken something to be better at baseball. I mean, we don't have any stories about Barry Bonds hurting anybody, does he? We're not talking about a monster in that case. I just don't have it in me to do that. Tell the full story of Major League Baseball and Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro and Curt Schilling and all of these individuals. They are a major part of baseball's history. You can't Men in Black flashy thing that way. The same way you can't do that with Shoeless Joe Jackson, you can't do that also with Pete Rose. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Eric Hosmer is going to call into the show and join us. They are celebrating the 2015 Royals coming up this Saturday at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys. A little bit of boxing news. We won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but they originally planned for the Canelo Alvarez-Terrence Crawford fight to be on Friday, September the 12th. They have now made the decision that it will be on a Saturday, so it will be on September 13th. They also have not announced where it's going to be. The plan was that it was supposed to be at Allegiant Stadium. Now, maybe it ends up being at Allegiant Stadium, but they are now saying, well, we don't know yet. We're going to figure out the best deal. Might be in L.A., might be in New York, might be in Vegas. Who knows where it is? They are considering sites. I certainly hope that they make an announcement. I mean, I think it's the biggest fight of the year. It also doesn't sound like the plan for it is for it to be on Netflix anymore. It sounds like it will be on pay-per-view. All of it just felt a little bit too good to be true. Maybe the biggest boxing match since Floyd and Pacquiao. They're just going to put it on Netflix. It did feel a little bit too good to be true. So we'll obviously get more information as that fight gets closer and closer, but it has now been moved from the 12th through the 13th. So it will be on a Saturday. We'll just figure out eventually where it is once they officially announce it. Speaking of announcements, let's talk about this. So the NFL is unveiling its international schedule as we are getting ready for the schedule to be released. And today they announced all of their international games. Now, I don't know why they won't just come out and say that the Chiefs are playing the Chargers on the first Friday of the year on YouTube. I mean, they have announced almost every other piece of the news. Everybody that covers the NFL is telling you who the Chargers are going to play, but the NFL and all their infinite wisdom has just decided, wait, we're going to hold off on that information. I mean, I guess, all right, but I think we all kind of know there's not going to be a surprise when they announce that the Chiefs and Chargers are playing on September 5th in Brazil. They did something really interesting, though, something that they have never done before. The same way that I tell you guys, they are trying out the streaming right in front of us. They have been doing this now for 3 years. Like most companies, they try to see how far they can push it. It starts with this thing, and then, wait, this really worked. Now we can do it a little bit more. They've been inching closer and closer. So I believe it was last year, maybe I'm off, they made the decision to have a NFL team stay overseas in back-to-back weeks. So not just go over to London, play your game, and then fly right back. No, you're going to go through a normal week overseas. So you play your game, you stay over there, you play another game, and then come home. I think they're picking up valuable information. Now, what they are doing is they're asking Minnesota to go over to Dublin, play a game in Ireland. They will then travel to London to play another game the next Sunday. So Minnesota not only has to play two back-to-back international games, they are then traveling internationally to both of the games. The league is really, really trying to see how viable it is for them to put a team over there. I don't really know how you can take this any other way than that's what they're doing. What other reason would you have to ask a team to not only go internationally and play in one country, they're then going to pack up all of their stuff and then fly to another country to play another international game? What reasoning would you have to ask them to do this if you're not continuing to gather data and continuing to gather information to eventually use it for what your big plan is? I think it's pretty clear at some point they are giving an international game the Super Bowl. I think it is just, it's very, very obvious that's what they're building towards. They continue to expand and expand and expand. They have 7 international games this year. They have one team that's going around the, they have one team that's going around the country now, around the world to play these games. The only other possible conclusion you can come to is eventually the plan is going to be, well, let's give London the Super Bowl. Our game has become so international that there is a demand for us to put this game over here. That's my big takeaway from it. Now, I don't know from a time difference standpoint how they would make it work and how it would be televised here in the United States. I don't know how that would work. But all of this international mission, I think it just has to lead to something. And as they are continuing to grow the game leaps and bounds around the world, I mean, the fastest way to do that would be to give them the most important game that you can give them. I mean, that's the most important game. You can't give them a playoff game. You're not taking away a home playoff game from somebody. There's only one playoff game that's played at a neutral site. There's only one playoff game that would make sense for you to play it in London. It's that one. I think that's the direction that we're headed towards. Maybe I'm off in this, but their international mission can only continues to grow and grow. They're given more countries, more games, more teams, more days, more television networks. I think eventually they just give London the Super Bowl, and that's what all of this is leading towards, to seeing if it can work logistically. How would travel work? How would you get over there? I think they are doing nothing but gathering information to eventually give them the Super Bowl.
But much how we've talked about on the show, ad nauseum with the NFL's greed and they're, you know, always wanting more. Let's say you're right. Let's say they are trying to put the Super Bowl in London. Let's say they do it, just for the hypothetical. Wouldn't that then open the door for the NFL to be having it in Madrid? They have a game in Madrid this year. In Munich or in Berlin. They got games in Germany this year. Would they put a Super Bowl in Dublin? Like, it feels like if the NFL puts a Super Bowl in London as a trial balloon and it is a success, then suddenly New Orleans, Miami, Vegas, LA, whatever cities in America will now be competing with those cities every year for the Super Bowl. Because if I am the NFL and it's a roaring success in London, why wouldn't I put it in Madrid? Madrid's fantastic, the same way London's fantastic. Oh, we have a huge market of NFL fans in Munich. I'll put a Super Bowl in Munich. It feels like if you're right, it's a slippery slope to it being a one in, one out Super Bowl. One in the United States, one out. Because why would they keep putting more games in more cities to not just have the Super Bowl in more cities?
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the travel isn't that bad. This is like traveling from Kansas City to Chicago. That's not extreme by any means. I think what's different about this is when the Chiefs go play the Bears, they then come back home after the game. That's why I think this is different. The Chiefs play the Bears on the road. They play them Sunday at noon. Well, Patrick Mahomes is back home with his family by 9 o'clock. We're now asking teams to, hey, fly from Kansas City to Chicago. Stay in Chicago the entire week, and then we'll fly you to Jacksonville to go play your game before you go home. Why are we asking NFL players to do this? The NFL, they will push and push and push and figure out how far the line is. And the players, I think we just seen time and time again that they just don't really push back on these things. What do you want us to do? You want us to play Friday in Brazil? Sure, we'll do it. You want us to play Thursday night football? You want to flex Thursday night football? Sure. You want us to work Wednesdays for Christmas now? Yeah, we'll do it. I don't really know what the pushback is from the players in all of these things. I think that all of this international, it just has to be building for something other than, well, we want more money. The NFL just doesn't do things just to do them. There normally is a plan. This started with one international game. Now it has gone up to 7. Now it has gone to some teams stay over there for 2 weeks. Now teams are traveling now internationally between cities and now doing it that way. They are either preparing to put a team over there and figuring out if it will work and how it will work logistically and if players like staying over there, or they're building towards giving them the Super Bowl. There are not many other options of what I think they are potentially building towards. There's some news in the NBA. Jason Tatum, he has just undergone surgery to repair a torn right Achilles. So We thought yesterday that something very serious happened to Jason Tatum. It has now been confirmed. He has had surgery to repair a right torn Achilles. And there was a Show Me Sports Investment Act. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.